Almost exactly 5 years ago today, I received the Behringer Zenix X1832 USB mixer to use and learn. A colleague I was working with at a radio and broadcasting internship bought me one to figure it out and master it for their live broadcasts. At the time, this beast of a mixer seemed way over my head and a tad overkill for any of my needs. But over the past 5 years, I've gained a pretty solid understanding of its inner workings, and I've finally started to grow out of it. I have a new mixer I'll be setting up in its place, so it's time to give this old boy a review, isn't it? Tired of hiding behind giant microphones during your live streams or videos? Say hello to the Mod Mic and the XLR Power Converter. This flexible, high-quality microphone attaches to your headphones and gives you the freedom you deserve. The XLR Power Converter makes it work with your existing professional audio setup for even more flexibility. Check it out with the link in the video description. I'm Evil's Vox, here to make tech easier and more fun. Today, taking a look at this bad boy, the Behringer Zenix X1832 USB mixer. Despite its size, it's actually a small format mixer. It features 14 inputs, the first 6 of which can be XLR or 1/4 inch with the award-winning Zenix preamps for your XLR mic inputs. Supposedly these are good, but I've personally not been a fan. To be fair, my experience with bad preamps is limited, but I've always had to use external preamp tools with this mixer for most of the mics that I've used. So you've got 6 mic inputs with XLR or quarter inch, channel inserts for those inputs, allowing you to route them to separate effects processors and back, then 8 more inputs lined up as dual quarter inch inputs for stereo or mono via the left channel. The 6 mic inputs have a gain knob for the preamp and a built-in compressor knob. All inputs have a level adjustment pad for +4 dB or -10 dB. All inputs also have all of these other knobs. You've got 4-band EQ for high-mid, low-mid, and low-frequency tuning, aux-sin controls, which I never honestly got working well, FX application levels, left-right stereo panning, and a mute button. Flexible output options are available as well. You've got your standard phone's output up top for your headphones, of course. Then on the back, you have main outputs available in XLR and quarter-inch, sub-mix output via quarter-inch, and a control room out via quarter-inch. This is a 2-bus mixer, meaning you have a main mix and a submix. I use this heavily for streaming, and it inspired my primary interest in learning audio mixing for streams and information that I regularly use to this day. I have mine set up as a spaghetti monster that I wouldn't wish on anyone, which is why most of the footage of this mixer is it extracted from my setup. Hard to decode here. So for each input's fader, you have 3 switches. Solo, sub, and main. Solo is not Han Solo. It sends the signal to what is essentially a soft mix of sorts. It only goes to the headphones and control room out for you to hear. If you want to hear and monitor a source, solo needs to be turned on for it. Sub and main are for the sub mix and main mix respectively. I utilize this to create a main mix of all of my input sources together, something I don't use all that often anymore but used to use a lot for streaming. And then a submix with just my microphone inputs. I use the submix as my primary input in Windows. This way I have a clean, microphone-only input to my PC that I can record and send to VoIP apps like Discord, Skype, etc. without the people I'm chatting with hearing an echo of themselves or my game sound. Then, if I need a full mix down for live streams, I have that running in as well, though I mainly just mix the headphones for me to hear and capture main mix sources in software anyway. It's easier to sync up that way. The issue with this kind of setup is that for every different mix you send to a single computer, you need a unique line in port on the PC, which virtually none have multiple inputs. So since 2013 or 2014, when I decided to handle it this way, I've been utilizing both the motherboard line in port on my PC and a PCIe sound card, the Creative Sound Blaster Z. Main mix feeds through a dual quarter inch to 3.5mm cable into one, and the submix into the other. This gives me the benefit of having 2 output channels as well, line out from the motherboard and line out from the sound card, both of which get routed into the mixer. The main PC out handles all of my PC's default sounds, desktop use, games, videos, etc. The second output from the PC has VoIP apps manually assigned. This way I can balance my game sound and chat sound, for example, for me a lot better and keep them separated in OBS since they are now running to two physically different devices without the need for a virtual audio cable, voice meter, etc. This has been very handy. Annoyingly, however, the Sound Blaster Z always defaults to 5.1 surround sound instead of stereo upon reboot, even if I set it in the driver, set it in Windows. Every time I reboot, it resets, which can cause Discord to not want to output to it. I've never really found a fix for that, which is why I'd like to move away from using it. To get around this, I've been using the obvious solution in front of my face. Literally. Most computer monitors have a headphone output jack, so I simply routed one of my monitor's headphone output jacks to a mixer input, and that serves as the output device for my VoIP calls from Discord and Skype. That way I have a separate volume fader on the mixer for me, a separate device to map in OBS Studio, and I don't need a second sound card. Just about everyone can do this. The FX slider also allows you to map which tracks it plays to, and then you can turn up the FX levels per device. So I have FX set to only apply to my microphone devices, so when I unmute the effects, my mic has the effects applied. This is how I do my random mid-moment super echo voice thing. The built-in 24-bit effects mainly include reverb and chorus-style effects. You can change them up here by the LCD display. Below that, there's another equalizer, a 9-band stereo graphic EQ that applies to the whole mix, based on your settings here. I use the onboard EQs and compressors at one point in time, but mostly leave these off in lieu of separate hardware processors, such as the DBX286S for my primary microphone. This board also has a virtual surround sound control, which could be neat, but I always avoid, and a voice cancellation button for running karaoke. You can also achieve more output routing via the MonSynd and AuxSynd setup, as well as the two-track RCA routing, but I found these to be overall more messy than just using a submix and never really put much effort into figuring these out. Lastly, of course, this mixer has USB output, but I have honestly found that feature to be all but useless. It uses the generic ASIO for all drivers, which can have compatibility issues with many programs, only sends the main stereo mix to the PC, and overall was just way too quiet to be usable. In my original testing, even with clipping the main mix all to hell and back, it would be like minus 40 dB input to the PC, and then amplifying that up to be usable brought a crazy noise floor with it. No thank you. Plus, USB audio just sucks to work with anyway. Speaking of noise floors, this mixer has problems. I've spent the past 5 years trying to clear up line noise issues with this mixer. At first, I blamed my PC fan noise and spent ages throwing up those crappy foam tiles and trying to clear up room noise. Then I blamed bad power and we added more grounding pigtails to my outlets. Next, I got a bunch of those car-purpose ground loop isolators for the 3.5mm runs, which helped a lot, but over time there was still some high-frequency bleed from computer motherboards and things like that. I bought a power conditioner to run all of my audio gear from. Bought a lot of those HumX per-plug ground loop fixers, nothing was a complete fix. For basic audio run-through, the mixer was totally fine, but add post-processing or anything like that, amplification, and that brought up the hiss and noise a lot. Nothing truly fixed my issues until I found another Behringer product, only just in January of this year. The HD400 Hum Destroyer. Running any inputs and outputs through these boxes. One box per stereo pair of quarter-inch connectors, which got very expensive, fixed my issues. But everyone I talk to in the audio space says that this should not be necessary. The mixer itself, even with no inputs, has some noise issues. It could be specific to my mixer, but I've seen similar complaints from other users about this mixer and about Behringer, or at least the Zenix line of Behringer products on the whole. So I'm thinking either it's a trend or a big quality control issue. Now, I do still need some of those Hum Destroyer boxes on my more expensive mixer that I have switched to, but only on specific inputs where there is high frequency bleed, not for literally everything. With my mixer as well, the sixth mic input shorted out at some point. Whenever I was using direct mic inputs and needed phantom power, turned on the switch, the compressor light for that input would always light up when turning it on and it would pop. Even without phantom power, that input just does not work and never really has. I've also run into issues where sometimes I'll go to record my microphone and one of the channels is totally glitched out and staticky or just not there at all. Usually the right side. This only happens with the microphone inputs, even though they're mono. I usually have to power cycle the mixer or switch inputs enough until it resolves. All of this seems to point to bad capacitors in the mixer, a common problem with cheaper solutions. Just funny given their whole award-winning preamps selling point. Back to the good points, this mixer is compact for everything it has, and it comes with rack ears in the box to add it to a rack mount setup, which is how I had it set up for a long time. There's probably more to this mixer that I haven't learned or covered, but this is what I've gotten from it through my 5 years of use for content creation, voiceover, live streaming, a little bit of broadcasting for that internship back in the day, and so on. For $250, though it was $300 when I got it, it's got a pretty good value going for it. I just wish the USB support was better and that I didn't have so much trouble with line noise with it. While the original plan back in May-ish when I shot this review was to switch to the PreSonus Studio Live 16.0.2 FireWire mixer that I had picked up, I've actually switched back to the Behringer. The PreSonus doesn't have the same bad input issues as this mixer with the microphone cutting out and things like that, but it still needs hum destroyers to clear out the high frequency bleed. Windows keeps disconnecting the FireWire audio device, a common issue with Focusrite USB interfaces, and it's much more difficult and convoluted to do things like sub and main bus mapping, the whole benefits I was showing with this mixer, applying effects, and it's even finicky about stereo sources. While I'm sure it's a great mixer for many uses, this Behringer Zenix X8132 USB mixer puts the controls I need right in front of my face and where I need them at a hand's reach. So I guess at this point I'm just ordering a new X1832 or maybe the X2222, which can be had for the same price, to swap into place.